God is good. He's good all the time. I thank God for who He is. I thank God for the things that He's doing. And you know, God is bringing change about to your life. And you know, when change is coming, what you do with change is you embrace change. You can fight change and you can fight this and you can fight that. But when you see that there's a change coming and that God is bringing it about, you just get on that boat and you go with the Holy Spirit, because He's going to lead you where you need to go. And let's go to Isaiah chapter 38 this morning. And God has been really ministering this to my heart all week. And we are looking in Isaiah chapter 38. We're going to begin at verse 1. And it says, "In those days Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. And the prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, went to him and said, 'This is what the Lord says, put your house in order, because you are going to die, you will not recover.'" Now, this is not a doom and gloom Sunday morning here at Paris Christian Center, but this is just the Word of God. And Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "You know what? Get your house in order, Hezekiah, because life's about to be over for you." I kind of thought it was nice of the Lord to send Isaiah to tell him. I mean, sometimes you go and you got no idea and your house ain't in order. I thought it was a nice gesture that the Lord sent him to begin with, Sister Cindy. But hey, sometimes you got to know what you're going with and you got to get your house in order. Amen. Sometimes you got to know when God's trying to bring some change about to you and you got to get some things in order. And it says that Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. And he said, "Remember how I have walked before you faithfully." And you know what? When you get bad news and you're trying to recall to God some things to get God to move on your behalf, there's got to be something there to say, "God, do you remember when I did this? Do you remember when I listened to your word? Do you remember when you told me to do this and I did that, God? Do you remember when you told me to go here and I went there? Do you remember when you told me to pray and I prayed? Do you remember when I said, 'Lord, that's not what I want to do. I want to do this.' But no, God said, 'Don't do that,' and you went over here." And so Hezekiah, he got some bad news. Anybody ever get any bad news? Amen. Bad news is a part of life. And it refers to the Bible verse where it says, "In this world, you're going to have trials, you're going to have tribulation." That's giving you a warning. Bad things will come. It rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. There's not a differentiality except for the fact that God has an obligation to His children. There's a lot of people saying, "I'm His child," but when it comes down to their life, they're really not a child. They're a sinner. Now, that is blunt. That is out there. You won't get much preachers that'll say sinners are sinners. But you know what? I love the sinner. The goal is to get them saved. Amen. But you got to know what you're working with. You got to know if you can say, "God, but I've done this. God, see, something's knocking at my door. It's a tragedy. But God, I've been the woman that you wanted me to be. God, I've been the man that you told me to be. God, I stood where you told me to stand." See, if you don't have anything backing up your life, when a trouble comes, you're going to be in trouble. Amen. And Hezekiah said, "You know what, God, but don't you remember?" See, and if you can get God to remember, see, God knows. But very few people, when they get into a life struggle, they're just going to take it. And you just sit there. And you know what? Sometimes God says, "Just be still." But there's other times where He says, "I'm calling you to rise up and say, 'Hey, but.'" You know? And it says, Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and he prayed to the Lord, "Remember, O Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion." There are very few people that will walk in a wholehearted devotion. Get me my cup. Silver back there. Glory. That allergy thing is trying to get to me and it ain't getting to me.
Thank you, God.
God's getting to me. And I'm not going to be hoarse when I'm doing this, because I'm going to get a drink and I'm going to catch my second wind. because I have felt this one for days. And ain't hell nor high water nor coffin nor nothing else is going to stand in my way, because God's word is going to go forth. It's going to go forth no matter what. God's been ministering to me today, Brenda Babe, this week, and He's saying, Kelly, you better think about how you want your ministry to go. Because you can look over here and you can always see somebody else better. You can always see something else. Somebody has something else. When you compare yourself to anybody else, you're going to lose. When you look to the other side of you, you'll see somebody that wants to be you. You'll see somebody that looks up to you. So you know what? Your best bet is to just be you. Be the best version of you. Amen. And God has been ministering that to me, because, hey, if I worry about where I'm going, where this ministry is going, what my part is in it, we're going to be on our way. Amen. But glory, Hezekiah said, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion, and I have done what is good in your eyes. Now, my question to you today is, how have you walked? How have you walked? Let me tell you something. Half-hearted efforts, they won't get you nowhere in this world, and they won't get you nowhere with Jesus. Nobody likes somebody that's going to put half of anything into anything, because half is still half. Half is half. God wants your whole heart. God wants your whole attention. You know, we say, and I'm not preaching about the tithe, but you know what? I'm not going to dance around it either. When the Bible says bring in the whole tithe, bring, what is it? It's 10%. You know what I've learned? I've learned that God wants everything. See, we say, God, we're going to give you this Sunday. We're going to give you the Sabbath. No, I dare you to give them your life. I dare you to let Him choose what you do, who you marry, who you date, the finances that you put into wherever. Whatever you're doing, do it with a whole heart and do it with the sense that God has directed your path. Amen. And so Hezekiah says, O Lord, how I've walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion. And you know what? A lot about being married is being devoted. And what I've learned about the Lord is that my relationship with God is going to take my devotion, wholehearted devotion. And it says, I've done good in your eyes. And Hezekiah wept, and he wept bitterly. Why did he weep bitterly? Because he wasn't finished. He didn't feel like he was ready to go. You see people and they say, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. And then you see people want to stand up and fight. Why? Because they're not ready to go. See, God's word does not change. It says, I will satisfy you with long life. It also says that you'll have life and that you'll have it in abundance. But see, we don't tap in to what God says, and these trials come, bad news comes, and people won't stand on God's word because they don't know God's word. You gotta know His word. You gotta get in there. You gotta get that heart where it's completely devoted to Him, because see, God wants to take you some awesome, awesome places, but it's gonna take your devotion. What are you devoted to? Now, every message that I preach it to me first. See, I can't stand before you and say I've always had wholehearted devotion, because I haven't. I can't tell you I've always thought I was right as rain. Well, I did really think I was right as rain. I'm a little conceited. But I didn't think I had as many problems to work out with Jesus is what I realized that I had. And let me tell you something. I was sitting in Celebrate Recovery Thursday night, and we were hearing a testimony, and it just touched my heart so much, because the lady said this, Cindy, and this was just profound to me. And she said, I look for the next opportunity to do the right thing. There's so many people, they're looking, they don't even know what they're looking for. Ugh. Glory. And that touched my heart because I thought, God, I can finally say, that's me. It wasn't always me. But now I'm looking for the next opportunity to make the right decision.
Thank you, God.
If you get to the same point, the same major point in your life 5 times, and you make a bad call 5 times, your life is not going to be what God intended it to be. You get what I'm saying? How do we get to where we make those right decisions? Starts with having some devotion. You want to be married? Get married to God first. Amen? And it says that he wept bitterly. And you know, Sister Milling has been delivered of cancer. She's been healed of cancer. And you could say, well, she had a surgery. It don't matter. Does she walk cancer free? Yes, she does. Did God give the knowledge to the surgeon? Yes, he did. Did God know which one to put in her path? Yes, he did. And so, you know, there were times that I would look over at Mother in praise and worship and I would just see her cry. Why? Because she wasn't finished. See, when you get to a point in your life where you're crying out to God and you're saying, God, I feel like I've been robbed. God, I feel like I'm being cheated. God, I feel like I've been, somebody got taken advantage of me. God this, God that. You're going to have some things that you can recall to Him. Because as we can see, God wasn't finished. And it says, then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah. And it said, go and tell Hezekiah, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David says. I have heard your prayer and I have seen your tears. Now we're going to hold our spot right there. And we're going to go to Daniel. And I gave those to y'all. If you would please put them up there. And we're going to look at verses 10 through 12. And it says, suddenly a hand touched me and raised me to my hands and knees. And he said to me, Daniel, you are a man treasured by God. Another version of it says, you are highly favored. Another version of it says, you are highly esteemed. God thinks a lot of you. And it says that he reached down and it touched him. And it says, understand the words that I'm saying to you. Stand on your feet, for I have now been sent to you. And after he said this to me, I stood up trembling. And he says, don't be afraid, Daniel. For from the first day that you had purposed to understand. Another translation says, the very first day that you prayed, I heard you. The very first day. Now we've got Isaiah and he's saying to Hezekiah, God says that he's seen your tears and that he's heard your cry. Now look, this is not McDonald's. This ain't Chick-fil-A. You're not living in a fast food life all the time. Now, if you're anything like me, I'll be on my way to McDonald's and I'll start getting anxiety about the possibility of thinking about being held up in that to-go line. And if I'm really honest, and today's Sunday I'm going to be, I get antsy when it looks like I'm about to have a problem in my life and it looks like it's thinking about might maybe holding me up for 5 minutes of my life. Now look, God said in His Word, God doesn't change. He said, if I did it for you yesterday, I'll do it for you today. I'm certainly going to do it for you tomorrow. I'm going to show up in your life from the very first day that you prayed that prayer, from the very first day that you hit your knees and you gave God His praise that's due to Him, from the very first time that you cried the very first tear, God heard it. Sometimes there is a hold up. Now let's continue on. It says, your prayers were heard, and I have come because of your prayers. Next verses, please. The next verses in Daniel. Let's go with 13 and 14. And it says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia opposed me for 21 days. Another translation says, I was being resisted for 21 days. Daniel, for 21 days, I heard you the first time. But for 21 days, there was a holdup. There was another person involved. Okay, let's get down to some reality. There was another person involved, Daniel, and for 21 days, they held me up. See, you're going to be held up sometimes by other people. I've been held up for 14 months on an issue. For 14 months, Stephanie, I cried, I had anguish, I had anger, I had all these emotions. And God said, Kelly, you be the woman that I'm telling you to be. You hold your mouth because I want to show you that I'm going to always show up. I want to show you that I'm faithful. I want to show you that, hey, it may be 21 days, it may be 14 days, but I'm coming through. And when I come through, man, it's like a brush of wind that comes across you, and you know it's God. Everybody around you knows that it's God. You know what? Some things take a little bit of time. You got to be patient. You got to know that, hey, if there's somebody else involved, they may be a little resisting. I used to tell Kayla, don't you let them resist you. Don't you take no for an answer. Sometimes people say no. Sometimes there's a resisting spirit right there. That, see, you get your grown-up kids. They think that they want to do what they want to do. They out there living in the world. They out there acting a fool. You going to bed and you crying. Somebody breaks your heart. See, let's preach about some real issues. Let's keep it real, real. So we can learn. See, resistance is a part of human nature. We don't grow up wanting to say yes. There's something in us wants to say no. Jeremy always says, if it's my idea, Kelly's going to say no. If it's her idea, but you know what? When there's other things involved, sometimes there's a resisting factor. And it doesn't mean that God has been late. God's going to teach you something no matter how long it takes. Amen. And it says, I was resisted for 21 days, but Michael came and he helped me. And then the prayer was answered that you prayed. See, you need to pray that everybody involved, God touch every heart. God touch the heart of my enemy. God, to take it one step further, help me to be who you want me to be so I can touch the heart of my enemy. See, we like to talk about the table that God's preparing in the presence of our enemies. You think that that's making it to where you're going to be sitting at that table laughing all, whatever, being all, you know what? Sometimes it's like that and sometimes it's not. Sometimes you get at the table of your enemy. I've had it done to me many, many times. I've sat there, I've watched them suffer, and then I've said, God, if they're suffering because of me, God, turn it around for them. God, help them. God, deliver them. God, I don't want my enemy to suffer. See, we think that we want these people to suffer real bad because they've been horrible. No. What you want is you want to stop hurting. That's what you want. and if you'll put yourself under the Holy Spirit, He's going to get that for you, and He's going to do it in a way that you never thought.
Thank you, God.
And amen. Now let's go back to Isaiah, because Isaiah said, I've seen, God has seen your tears, and He's heard your prayers. I will add 15 years to your life.
Thank you, God.
Now, notice God didn't just say, I'm going to add some years. Very specifically, Hezekiah, I'm going to add 15 years to your life.
Thank you, God.
Many, many years ago, Pastor prayed for Papa McElhaney. Looked like he was going to go. God had other plans. See, when it looks like you're going down this time, when you get bad news this time, stop looking at what you can see with your eyes. Because see, God, He has a whole another narrative going on in your life. But you know what? Let God be God. Push Him up as much as you can. Push yourself down as much as you can. Why? Because He's got some things to do in your life. There may be some resistance. There probably will be. Because why? Other people are involved. People don't just willingly do things sometimes. Some people are like me, Jody, and they're very hard to get along with. They ain't going to just be like, oh, okay. Because you said, all right. No! There's going to have to be some God coming in that situation and changing that heart. Can He do it? Yeah. If God needs to send a Michael to help, He will. Amen? And it says, so He added. Now we got a lot of people asking God for a lot of things. I'm going to tell you this right here. People been adding. They need to stop. Because only God can really add. If God didn't add it to your life, watch out. See, let God do the adding. It says God added to His life. God will add to your finances. God will add to your family. God will add to your healing that hasn't quite taken place. God will add to every single aspect of your life. But if you're the one adding, you're going to have destructive. You're going to fall on some times that you don't want to fall on. I'm encouraging you today to let God do the adding in your life. And it says that God added 15 years. And then I love this part. And it says, and I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. So what we see is that God said, I've heard your prayer. Number one, I've seen your tears. Number two, number three, I'm going to defend you. And number four, I'm going to deliver you. What does it take? It takes the ability to be able to call back, God, I've done all this stuff. See, if you're laboring and you're not laboring for Jesus and in Jesus' name and doing the things that He's telling you to do, you're laboring in vain. Got a lot of people blowing a lot of smoke up their rear end. Yeah, I said it. Not taking it back. That's where they're blowing it. That's where it's going. That's where it's coming out. Glory. I preach where everybody can understand. And smoke is smoke. It's going to disappear into thin air. God's word's not going to change. God's word will not return void. If God's going to do the adding for you, you're going to be happy. Now listen, God said, I'm going to add 15 years, Hezekiah. You got 15 years, and I'm giving it to you. At first, I wanted to let you go. But you have walked blameless. You have had wholehearted devotion. I'm going to give to you. I'm going to add to you. There's a lot of people, and you're just saying, God, help me work through the day. God, do this. And you're praying in generalities. Get specific. Get very specific. Do you want your prayer answered in generalities? Do you got details that need to be worked out in the problem? Of course you do. Pray about them. I was telling Dad the other day, we were talking about a very dark period in my life, and I said, what it really boiled down to, if I'm very honest, I was about to marry a guy, and he was very abusive. When you're in an abusive situation, you don't realize it. And I had a flashback, Stephanie, right before this, right before we was going to really get wedding vamped. And it was when I was about 4 years old, and Mama was getting Kelly Mae in bed after a long day of Kelly Mae being Ellie Mae. I was sitting there in that bed trying to go to sleep. She came in there, and I just acted like I was asleep. You act like it, you can stay up longer, and you just let Mama do her thing, and then she gone. So I was sitting there, Mama Brenda, and here's Sister Millie. You tell me a four-year-old girl can't remember and feel the presence of God? Yes, they can. They absolutely can. She laid her hand. I remember it, every detail. She laid her hand on my stomach, and she began to pray, God, you send Kelly, a Holy Ghost-filled man of God. God, you send him. Let him love you more than he loves anything else. God, don't let her be messed up. God, don't let her be hurt. God, don't let her go through a divorce. Does stuff happen? Oh my gosh. Stuff happens and it leaves you so raw inside, you feel like you don't know how you're going to go on. That's how it makes you feel. And God came to me when I was about to marry that moron, and he said, Kelly, sober yourself up. I'm bringing you back to when you was 4 years old. Is this man any of those things that your mother called out to me all those years ago? Was he any of it? I said, God, he's not none of it. And then he said, Kelly, are you going to be the person in your parents' life after they've done, give up everything, done everything I've asked them to do? Are you going to be the one that makes their word return, my word return void to them? You going to be the one that really shakes them? Let me tell you something. Whatever your motivation is, great. If it's going to keep you motivated, wonderful. For me, it was that right there. I didn't dump him because I wanted to dump him. I dumped him because I loved my family. I loved him more than I loved anything else. See, God knows how to get you from point A to point B. See, I'm not going to be the one that's doing all that. Uh-uh. Man, who knew Jeremy was there? I didn't. But I began to trust God more than I ever trusted him before. And so it says, and I will defend this city, and this is the Lord's sign to you, that the Lord will do what he has promised. I will make the shadow cast by the sun go back the 10 steps it has gone down on the stairway of Ahaz. So the sunlight went back the 10 steps it had gone down. And the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, after his illness and recovery. And here's what he said. I said, in the prime of my life, must I go through the gates of death? That's how he felt. God, I'm in my prime. Now you're taking me out. And he said, am I really going to go that way and be robbed of the rest of my years? See, some people have been robbed of some years, and you're going to have a recall there. And if there's nothing to recall, you're in trouble. If you can't fall back on your wholeheartedness that you done gave to God, there's a problem. And it says, I will not again see the Lord in the land of the living. No longer will I look on mankind or be with those who now dwell in this world. Like a shepherd's tent, my house has been pulled down and taken from me. Like a weaver, I have rolled up my life, and he has cut me off from the loom. Day and night, you made an end of me. I waited patiently till dawn, but like a lion, he broke all my bones. See, this is how he felt when he heard that he was going to go. He's writing. You don't think people felt anguish back then like you feel today? They do. Yes. Here he is, and he's saying, this is how I felt when I heard that. And I waited patiently till dawn, but like a lion, he broke all my bones day and night. You made an end of me. And I cried like a swift or thrush. I moaned like a mourning dove. My eyes grew weak as I looked to the heavens. I am troubled. O Lord, come to my aid. But what can I say? He has spoken to me, and he himself has done this. I will walk humbly all my years because of this anguish of my soul. And Lord, by such things men live, and my spirit too finds life. You restored me to health and let me live. You know, we were at a drug court graduation several months ago, and this guy's mama stood up. And she said, I was really mad and I was really bitter at what I thought they were doing to my son. Now, if anything's going to get a person bitter, somebody do something to your kid, you're going to get it. And it's going to be long and drawn out if you do it to mine. That's how I feel about it. She said, I was really bitter and angry over what I thought they had done to my son. But I've learned how to let and let be. Some people haven't learned how to let anything. Let it be or let it go. And here's Hezekiah. And he realizes where his bread is buttered because he said, God, I felt all these things. See, you're going to live in today's society. You're going to feel a lot of stuff. And feelings come and feelings go and feelings get you in trouble. And that's why you need to be led by the Spirit. But he says, God, you restored me to health. And you let me live. He realized that it was a let thing. God, you allowed it. You let it happen. And it says, surely it was for my benefit that I suffered such anguish. See, we think our suffering is just suffering. No, your suffering has a purpose. God doesn't waste anything. If you've suffered in this life, he's going to make it up to you, but he's going to bring you to a point where you realize perhaps maybe that wasn't suffering, but it was a growing thing. You are growing. Was there a little suffering involved? Probably so. But you know what? Suffering has a thing about it, and God can bring out a lot of things through some hard places. And he says, in your love, you kept me from the pit of destruction, and you have put all my sins behind your back. See, you can recall to the Lord the good things that you've done. So many people, when God calls them, when he says, I want to do this with your life, or he says, I'm going to bless you in this way, I'm going to make this happen in your life, all you're recalling is all the reasons why you can't. You see it in the Bible. God, I can't speak well. God, I stutter. God, I'm only a child. God, I can't do this. I don't like that person. God, I can't go there. I don't like to go. Period. But what we see is God put all that stuff. He took all them sins and all them things that people don't know about you. Or maybe they do know them and that messes with your mind. He took all them things. And it says that he put them behind his back. Meaning, they're gone. When God puts it behind him, that's behind God. Can you go behind God's back? No, you can't. And it says, God, you took all my sins and you put them behind your back. And this is the part that I love. And it says, for the grave cannot praise you. And what he was saying was this right here. God, I'm weeping and I'm weeping bitterly because I don't want to go. I don't feel like I'm ready. I don't feel like it's my time. Do you remember, God, the things that I've done, how I've tried to walk with you in every way I can, every wholehearted part of me? God, see, Psalm says, I will praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And Hezekiah said an awesome thing. He said, God, the grave, it can't praise you, but I can. See, you want to get somewhere with God, you'd work on being his favorite kid. God has a way of making you feel like you're the favorite kid. He does it with all of us. God, spare my life. God, heal my family. God, mend the brokenness that I'm feeling. God, deliver me from depression. God, help me. God, because the grave, it can't praise you, but I can. Amen. And it says, death cannot sing your praise. Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your faithfulness. The living, they praise you as I am doing today. And fathers tell their children about your faithfulness. And you know, when I read, the grave can't praise you, God began to speak to my heart. Kelly, there's so many people. There's a problem. They're filling me on Sunday. They have very good intentions. But all through the week, it's like, God, I can't feel you. God, where are you? God, there's a disconnect. God, this. I'm going to tell you, begin to praise God. See, some of us, we haven't gotten in the Word. We haven't prayed. Now, I'm going to ask my husband to put us on some praise music because we're going to start this week out right. Now let's stand because, see, we're going to praise God. If there's a numbness on you, if there is a heaviness on you, see, God wants to help you. God wants to deliver you. If you pray in tongues, pray in tongues. Begin to pray to God. The grave can't praise Him. He's going to keep you. He's going to help you. Now praise God in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I thank you. God, that you said we were fearfully and wonderfully made. God, I thank you that every person, God, they have a personal relationship with you. God, they begin to praise you like never before. I speak to every addiction up in this place right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that the spirit of heaviness, God, that it's leaving. God, I thank you that every spirit of depression, it's going right out that door in Jesus' name. God, every bit of healing that needs to take place emotionally, physically, spiritually, every single way. Lord God, I thank you, God, that you're bringing it about right now in Jesus' name. Lord God, I thank you for everything that you're doing. God, I thank you right now that people's getting it straight all over the place. God, I thank you for the spirit of praise that's coming into Paris Christian Center. God, I thank you for travail in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I thank you that your children, they're calling out to you, God. They're calling on your name, God. They're calling out to the one true God. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, God, for everything that you've done. God, for everything that you're going to do. And God, I thank you for everything. Lord, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.
Somebody say, praise God. Say, I'm in it to win it. You know, I'd like to... shut that. End this service by sharing my heart with you. And I have watched...